Radio City Talk. Match of my life.
Right, today's guest on Match of My Life is singer, songwriter, DJ, record producer and star of Panto as well. That's got to be the footnote to it all. It's Dame Bowers. Morning to you,
Dame. Good morning.
Let's get the Panto bit out.
What a write-up that was.
Yeah, well, you know, done a bit of everything, haven't you?
I'd get about, didn't I? What can I say?
Peter Pan. You are Hook, aren't you?
I am. I'm Captain Hook. It's taking toll on my throat. Trying to do Captain Hook voice. Do you know what? It's been brilliant. We're at the Epstein Theatre. We're 20 shows in now. 3 shows a day. Absolutely knackered, but loving it.
People don't quite get how intense Panto
they,
can be.
They don't. It is really hard work. Yeah. We're lucky we've got a really good team. Literally all of us get on. We literally kind of got on from the first minute we met. But we have fun with it, look after each other. There's been a couple of people that have been ill and... You know, your very own Claire Simo, she's working hard as well, still doing a show. So it's hard work, but yeah, we're having fun.
She's a grafter.
Do you know what? She does. She works her butt off. I'll give it to her. I will give it to her.
What is it about Panto that, you know, there's people from all walks of life,
yeah,
dare I say celebrity, well-known people, get asked to do Panto. What is it that is the attraction of being involved
in Panto? Do you know
what?
I was always one of those guys, oh, God, I don't want to do Panto. That means it's all over.
With the stigma, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. But do you know what? It's not, and it's getting more and more popular now. There's a lot of money in Panto, so a lot of people can kind of, you know, get paid to do it. But, I mean, it's a great show. And our show is brilliant. I mean, a guy called Michael Chapman wrote ours. And it's something for everyone, literally. Adults go there, leaving sometimes a bit, you know, more fulfilled than the kids, because the jokes we've got are...
That's what you want.
Yeah, they push boundaries. But yeah, exactly. I mean, a lot of kids, you know, people will sit there and say, look, it's 2 hours, I get a break. The kids can watch this for 2 hours, and they end up coming and enjoying it themselves. So, yeah, no, it's been a good laugh. We've still got a long way to go, though. First of January. Three
far.
Shows today.
It only seems far. It's not that far.
I've got a show at 10 o'clock. What's the time now?
That's all
10
right.
past 9.
We've got 20 minutes of footage.
Yeah, we're all good.
Right, Dame Bowers, my guest today. And look, people know you from another level.
Yeah.
And various other things, Big Brother, blah, blah, blah. But early on, could you have been a footballer?
I played for Crystal Palace when I was younger.
What age?
Probably 11 to maybe 13, 14. I mean, I went to a sports school anyway. I went to a school called Come the House, and we were very lucky. We were very good at sports in general. Like we won everything. Steve Kemble was our coach, who was obviously a Crystal Palace coach. We had an England cricket coach, a Surrey rugby coach. We all played for Surrey for cricket and rugby. Most of us played for Palace or Charlton or something like that.
So you were all that. Being groomed to be sporting greats?
Yeah. I mean, a few people turned pro. Scott Newman played for England cricket. Andrew Frampton, I think, played for Palace for a while. David Sales. There's a lot of players that I kind of played with that went on to do stuff sport-wise. I ended up kind of going down a different path purely because it was a very academic school. It was a prep school, so we had to be good at what we did academically. And then I got a scholarship to go to a proper private school, got kicked out of it. So I then had to leave and find something else to do. And I'd been expelled from 2 schools, so I couldn't really get into another one. So I went to the Brit school and started singing and acting instead.
We can't say what for then.
When I was 10, I took the keys to my headmaster's car and I moved it onto a football pitch.
Sounds like a Gaza trick, though.
Yeah, I remember blaming it on some girl called Marianne. That's my memory of that. I got kicked out for that. So just all silly things. And I used to, sport-wise, karate was my big sport. I used to fight for England and was a champ for a few years doing that. I used to do it like 6 days a week.
So you had a bit of discipline about yourself.
Oh, back then, yeah.
Right, so what was your football high? Because I'm looking through your Wikipedia, whether it's right or wrong. It says Bowers began playing football for the third team at Cumbrian Celtic in 2012.
Oh, yeah. Do you know what? No, I lived... this is my girlfriend at the time, so I lived in Wales and was, you know, when Saints did the weekend, so I used to just play for Cumbrian. But that was, it was good. I mean, I wasn't overly fit. It was just, you know...
Sunday league.
Yeah. But it was good. It was good fun. They were a good bunch, actually.
Right, okay. The chairman said, hopefully he will enjoy his stay. He's a nice lad. Did you enjoyed your
football
time there?
Yeah, it was a good laugh. You know, the Welsh banter afterwards was worth playing for as well. But no, I play a few charity games here and there when I can. I had a problem with my back for a couple of years, so I haven't played for a bit. But it feels to be a little bit more on the mend now.
You've done the Soccer Aid thing, or the
not Soccer Aid, but I've done. Well, I did the match. We did two series of the match. Right. That was a great show. That was good. Oh God, years ago now, and that was up in Newcastle.
What was the format of that then?
Well, the first one, they literally picked a group of celebrities, and we were literally in the Newcastle training academy for a couple of weeks, and then we play a team of legends. So Graham Taylor was our coach.
Brilliant.
And then we played everyone from Gazza to Rob Lee. Incy was in a game, I think. Kevin Keegan was up. It was loads. But that was a really good show. That was good fun.
It doesn't matter how hard you work. There's no substitute for the quality of those boys.
Honestly, fitness goes, but the touch doesn't. And you can tell when you play. I mean, Matt Letizia, he's a good lad as well. Whenever I play him, he's still just got magic in his feet. He just, honest to God, he just touches the ball and it just pings it wherever he wants. So you can tell a proper professional footballer, no matter how old they are. Beardsley as well. Beardsley was playing. He was just on fire. They touch the ball and it's glued to their foot.
Graham Taylor's a bit special as well.
Yeah, do you know what? He was. He was really good fun.
Sadly missed. What a good
guy.
Yeah,
definitely. He's had his stick as well, hasn't he? And he's had a few howlers here and there. But he was great fun to work with. He was hardcore as well. And Luther Blissett was our coach. He was pretty hardcore as well. So, it was good.
Do you remember the classic Graham Taylor documentary? With him and Phil Neal?
Looking completely
hapless. Can I not do that?
Exactly. But, you know, it does remind me, though, the Tomlinson film, whatever that was, that does remind me of Graham Taylor as well.
Right, so a little bit of your football journey there. Who did you grow up supporting? Were you a Man U?
Man U fan.
Man U. Yeah. I was going to say Liverpool. I meant Man U. I knew you were a Man U fan for some reason.
Not a Liverpool fan.
Why Man U if you were down south?
Do you know what? My dad supported him. Yeah. And just when you're younger, you just support what your dad does, don't you? But you get stick for it, for being down south. But then I was lucky enough to meet a lot of Man U players and be friends with them. Some of the old school ones like Clayton Blackmore and people like that. And obviously David Beckham when I was working with Victoria. I managed to get to a few more games then. I was lucky that as a kid, it's nice supporting a team that's successful. But then as you grow up, you think it would have been nice to have a team that had a bit more hardship and you can kind of get into it a bit more. And obviously, it would have been nice to be a fan and kind of go to a few more games. But I followed Crystal Palace for a bit, obviously, after playing with them. But it just didn't really have my heart.
I've
really.
Never heard that. Someone asking for a harder football in life.
don't you think? Like you want to be able to get involved. Manu was just, we used to win everything when I was supporting him, like properly watching. I do support now. I don't get to watch as much now. And I definitely don't get to go to any games. Mm. So that kind of takes it out of it for me a bit.
That must have been strange working with Victoria Beckham. And actually,
it was, yeah.
Was David about often or?
We had a kickabout. We had it was, you know, and Beck for me. Even now, looking back, I think he's a football legend. I mean, what he done for England and for Man U was just phenomenal. And even now, I think what he does for the sport is pretty special. So yeah, it was nice meeting him and kind of getting to know him. I've run into quite a few Man U players over the years. Rio Ferdinand's obviously from down near me, so I know him anyway. So players like that, it makes you want to support the team a bit more because you know some of them as well.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff. Radio City Talk.
Let's have a look at some of the major sporting events in Dame Bauer's life. He's my guest for this half hour. So a Man United fan. And your most memorable sporting match, your match of my life would be what, Dave?
It was, I think it was 90 or 91. Like I said, I played for Palace, so we're lucky enough we could go to Palace games. And at that time, Man United and Crystal Palace had some really good ones. There was like the cup final, there was a replay, and then even the Youth Cup final. And I remember two games in particular, but one where we first saw Andrei Kancelski play. And honest to God, no one knew who he was. It was like there was this whippet running down the wing. And I mean, he kind of tore it out that game. He was so fast. And I just remember us all watching thinking, who is this guy? And obviously he became, you know, a bit
of a legendary
in
these quarters as well for Everton.
Yeah, exactly.
He's been around here recently sort of promoting his book. But for Manchester United, he was something else.
He was, because it was just fresh. And at that time, it was the time of Giggs and Sharp and Beckham coming through the youth team. Because I remember them being in the youth final. And seeing Lee Sharp, same thing, running up and down the wing, just destroying people pace-wise. But yeah, Kanchelskis, that was the game that always sticks out for me. And obviously, Selhurst Park has had some good Man United moments as well, obviously, even with Cantona and everything else. So it always seemed to be a good place to watch a Man U game.
Absolutely. It was a period of time, wasn't it? You mentioned it before, where it was just an expectancy for Manchester United fans, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was like, I mean, some of my first memories were there was a league battle with Leeds. It might have even been the last, like, League One before the Premiership started, I think, maybe, or maybe even the first Premiership season, I'm not sure, where Leeds won it. And I remember being on holiday somewhere with my dad and I was watching these games abroad and Leeds being the team. So it's also good seeing the journey of what the top flight teams were and how they've changed. I mean, you won't mention Leeds really now, but back then...
Massive club.
Top, yeah.
Huge.
Top on top.
You know? And then people forget their journey within the Champions League as well.
Yeah,
semi-finalists.
Absolutely, yeah. And I mean, you see your big teams. You know, you've got your Man United, Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea, you know, those teams. But there are, you know, there's been teams fluctuating up and down. And when you see something like that and then you think what league they're in now or, where, you know, it's crazy. But yeah, those were good memories.
Who were the players for you? Because obviously that class that Manchester United had, the young boys.
Mark Hughes was always my...
Ah, so we're going slightly further back. Yeah.
Mark Hughes, Paul Ince. So the team for me was Mark Ince, Paul
Hughes.
Mark Ince. Hughes, Paul Ince, Irwin, Parker,
right.
Pallister. I mean, Pallister for England, like, wow. Yeah, Bruce Robson. That was the era that were really my memories. And then it kind of moved on. I mean, Peter Schmeichel was a legend through time of that. But for me, it was the volleys of Mark Hughes. He was the man.
Awesome strike. I mean, in many ways, you look back at United and think they went from those players to this incredible youthful generation as well.
This,
and that was part of this dominance that lasted for so long.
But it was, because if you look at it, I mean, you know, you look at the story of how all of those guys come up, you know, with Nicky Butt, Scholes, Giggsy, they all come together. But they were playing and doing their thing while Pallister... and Bruce and everyone was still doing their thing in their 30s. There was this massive range of talent for Manchester United. I think that's what did it. And even nowadays, you look at football, it's all about the younger generation and those exciting players coming through. Back then, I think it was more about, you know, the actual experience as well. I mean, we still have the older players now, but the young ones are kind of taking root. But back then, Man United, I mean, you would never mess with Roy Keane and sit there and think you're the man while he's on the team. You just wouldn't.
And you could quite happily look down your nose at the likes of Liverpool because you knew, say you go back to, say, Roy Evans. A great period, well, I'd say great period in Liverpool's history. He had great players, you know, Fowlers, Caballeros.
Yeah. Fowler was just...
And actually came close to winning the Premier League, but Manchester United, of course, got there first because it didn't matter how good Liverpool were at that time.
Yeah.
Manchester United were that much better.
It is. It's just, you know, it's era, isn't it? It's like there's a team that seemed to be, that's it, you're not going to beat them. You know, and when you look at different things in football, like Man City, when, you know, all the money come in, you sat there and thought, well, how's anyone can compete with this? And the players that they were going to be able to buy. And you look at all of these teams and think, right, that's the team for the next couple of years. The good thing about the Premiership now is it's really a massively open league. You know, you could, at the beginning of the season, you could look at least four teams and say, yeah, there's a chance they'll win it.
Do you like Mourinho? Is Mourinho the man who's transforming Manchester United? Or will he always be in Pep's
It's strange.
Shadow?
I like his arrogance. I love how arrogant he is. I think that's funny. But,
have you met him?
I haven't, no.
No.
But I didn't used to like him, obviously, with Chelsea. I was like, oh, can't. But now, you kind of have to turn a bit. No, do you know what? He's good at what he does. And you never know how involved the manager is behind the scenes, whether it's him or his coaching staff or what. But he does seem to get the best out of people. And I actually do think a lot of the younger players admire the arrogance, admire the, like, this is it. This is what we're doing. He's doing well at the minute. I think it was impossible for anyone to follow Alex Ferguson anyway, so the next couple after that were in trouble.
Did you meet Fergie?
Very briefly I've met him, yeah. He wasn't very talkative.
One of those with an aura around him?
Yeah.
The greats have that, don't they?
Do you know what? He's not bigger than the club, but he's as big as the club. Like, he is the club. If you look at it and you look at the years and what he's done... It's just ridiculous, really. I mean, And you forget now, even people like Wenger, who's getting stick now, but how long he's been at that club. You know, when people have been at that club for that long and the legacy is them, like the managers that followed him, I felt sorry for him. You could just never do it, could you?
You can't, can
it was
you?
Impossible.
Doesn't matter what Mourinho
couldn't
does.
Win. No.
He will always be in the a significant shadow of Alex Ferguson.
Yeah, and I'm sure that eats him, to be honest. Because obviously Mourinho wants to have his own legacy, which, he's done amazing. What he did for Chelsea was amazing. But, Ferguson, you're not gonna surpass him, really.
And at the moment, of course, you're looking across the city, and Manchester City are playing football that Manchester United would love to be playing.
Yeah, absolutely.
There.
And a lot of it stemmed from the money and the injection of that. And then from there, it's just got a great momentum where they're moving forward and they're building a good team. I think Man United's problem was it was just really, really bitty with the young players coming in. There was too many young players that didn't fit with each other, I think. Whereas before, our youth kind of structure was 5-6 players that literally grew up together. Which was Scholes and Butt and Giggs and, turned out to be the best players in the world pretty much. And that, it doesn't seem like it's got that at the moment over there.
Right, you don't see much football at the moment, do you?
No,
you're
rubbish.
Actually abroad quite a lot, aren't you?
Yeah, I live in Dubai mostly.
They probably have every match on live, don't they?
They do. You can watch everything over there, but I'd prefer to be by the pool. So, won't lie.
Oh, what a cop out.
Yeah. So, my attention span's gone, and when I do have downtime, I'll sit and I'll watch a box set and I'll chill and I'll DJ and play music here and there anyway. So, I kind of, the times that football are on, I just can't concentrate on it.
You're living the DJ life, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Say that, right? I'll be honest with you. I work 8 hours a week in Dubai, which is really bad, I know. 5 hours on a Tuesday DJing, and then 3 hours on a Friday, and that's it.
There's people at home, Dane, saying
it's really bad.
This is the life that we
aspire to. But no,
I
need to do more, don't get me wrong. But when I go back, I'll sort myself out. But so the rest of the time, I'm kind of,
available.
Yeah, well, I write for a magazine, which is easy because it just, I write about me going to pool parties, pretty much.
What a life. How do you reflect on, the early stages of your career? And
Do you know what? Best time of my life. It was great. Yeah, if you look at it, it was very, very hard, very busy. No time off whatsoever.
As you say, another level. You used to come up here and used to play.
Yeah, we was in here loads, yeah. Haven't been up here for a while. But yeah, no, it was great. It was a great time. It was very different then. It wasn't a digital world in terms of downloads and even the way you can promote yourself with YouTube or whatever else. You used to actually go everywhere and speak to everyone. So it was hard, but it was, I loved it. It was a great time.
What are the rest of them up to?
I think Wayne's in America still. He's in New York somewhere. Bobak is doing a law degree still, I think, as far as I know. And Mark, I know he's just got divorced, I think. So he's, I don't know what he's doing as far as that's concerned. But I know he was working and doing his thing with Alan Sugar. So I don't know what he's doing now.
Bobak's not working 8 hours a week, I tell you that.
No, he's not.
He'll be on the 50-plus hour.
Yeah, he's at college and doing God knows what. But we didn't say we fell out, but we didn't talk for a long, long time.
Right.
And funny enough, we were asked to do the big reunion, which we were close to doing, which we didn't. I ended up doing it by myself, doing some other different project. But yeah, we talk if we see each other, but we don't really see each other.
Dane, an absolute delight. Thank you very much.
Thanks
you're
for
actually
having
on stage,
right,
aren't you?
I'm on stage in half an hour.
Can you believe
I'm
going
to go and change, get my makeup on and my tights.
Hook is about to get ready.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The kickoff. Radio City Talk.